Hello, welcome to Killer Crawlspace. This is technically episode 5. We are updating this episode, and it's about the death penalty. We'll be discussing various, pretty much cases and just other information about the death penalty, kind of talking and getting our own opinion on how we feel about the death penalty and all that. Would you like to start off?
Yeah. Okay, so right now in 2019, 29 states have the death penalty. The top three highest rate of death penalty states are Texas, since 1977, 464 people have been executed. In Virginia, since that time, 108 people have been executed. In Oklahoma, 94 have been executed. A quarter of inmates die of natural causes awaiting execution. Newly available DNA evidence has allowed the exoneration and release of more than 20 death row inmates since 1992. Capital offenses punishable by death are espionage, treason, death resulting from aircraft hijack, various forms of murder. Gary Alvord, he is the nation's longest serving death row inmate. He died almost 40 years after conviction, April 9th, 1974, and he died in 2013. Five execution methods that are legal are lethal injection, electrocution, gas, firing squad, hanging. And I think firing squad is only allowed in certain states. Like, the states vary on what you're allowed to do. The youngest executed person was James Arsene. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, so if anyone's heard of that, sorry if I pronounced that wrong. He was a Native American, and he was arrested for his role in a robbery and murder when he was 10 years old. He was executed in 1885 when he was 23 years old. In 1946, Willie Francis, he was the first person to ever survive being executed. He was put in the electric chair, and he actually survived it. I'm not sure how. He was sentenced to death at 16 for murder. And he was 17 when they attempted execution. He tried to appeal his case after he survived, and then in 1947, at 18 years old, he was killed in Louisiana. The guillotine, it is no longer a legal way to execute someone, but the last person to ever be killed from what they call the National Razor was in 1977. It was a convicted murderer. Not sure how to say the name, but it looks like Hamida John Dubai. The guillotine became illegal in 1981. And if you want to put your opinion on death penalty in general.
So we're going off with the, what is your opinion?
My opinion? I agree to a certain extent. Like, I think there should be rules to it, basically how it is now. Like, certain offenses can be punishable by death, because some things, like, I think just you deserve to die for it, even if that's morbid. Sorry.
Yeah, I can agree with both, I guess you could say. Like, I see both sides, because I do death row inmates, so I kind of see both sides of the spectrum of that. Like, some people, yeah, they do deserve it, because, like, no matter if they're in prison for whatever, you know, for whatever murder, whoever they killed, like, some of them do kind of, I guess you'd say kind of, you could let them out and they wouldn't do anything, but then you got people that just, that's all they know and that's all they're going to do, so they definitely could, you know, not really make it out of society, so they deserve the death penalty. But the one thing I'm kind of, like, everybody always says, like, an eye for an eye, stuff like that. But then you got, like, some people that's on death row that didn't even do nothing. And
they were just there.
Yeah, like, you got the West Memphis 3, you know, Damian Echols, he was on death row. And, you know, a lot of people don't think he was involved in the murder of the three little boys.
Wasn't he in there for, like, 18 years on death row?
Yeah. Well, he's 18 years old, almost 18
years. He was in there for a long time. Like, he got arrested as a teenager and tried as an adult and was on death row and finally got out because they proved that he didn't do it.
Well, he was like 18, so he's still a teenager, but of legal age. The other two.
Oh, I thought he was underage.
I think the other one, was it Jason was 17?
Okay, yeah, I knew someone was underage.
One was 17, one was 16. He was, I think, 18. He was
and
the
if
oldest.
You haven't watched the movies or even read about the West Memphis 3, I highly suggest that. It's really good if you like true crime things, which if you're listening to this, you obviously do.
Oh, The Paradise Lost.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was a case that I watched. I forgot what the guy's name was. But it was like, he's on death row. But the dude that, like, was that like done the murder, like, I think he finally confessed and said, you know, that dude had nothing to do with it. So they were kind of like, wait, what? But he, like, won't really, like, they won't do nothing about it. And then you got the one gentleman down in Texas. What was his name? But he's a black guy, but he's in jail for killing a white woman. I'm trying to think what his name is. I want to say his name's Rodney. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. Sorry, my bad. But, He's been in there since like the 90s, but well, turns out she was engaged to a cop, and they kind of like the cops actually was in jail not too long ago for like he got a girl and like raped her like on his police cruiser or something. Oh, it's been a while since I read it, but like they're thinking that, you know, his wife having an affair with him, you know, with a black man, kind of like made him do it type thing. And, like, nobody really, like, they wouldn't talk to any of his family or nothing. The dude that's, you know, in on death row to say, hey, they, you know, they were having an affair. Because, like, they did find, like, his semen or whatever in her, but they were having an affair, so that would be why. I'm trying to think what his name is. But it's a really big case. Like, it'd be easy to find. Like, he don't deserve the death penalty. But then they say, like, there's other things, you know, that's, you know, he, I don't know, you got both sides of the spectrum you can look at. Because even, like, the West Memphis 3, you know, some people still think that they're, you know, guilty. And, like, in that guy's case, some people, you know, think he's guilty. Like, you never know which way to really go with it. Because it can go either way. So,
yeah. Well, it kind of goes with, like, it says newly available DNA testing. Like, you know, more technology than there was way back when. Has released 20 people, and they have had it, like,
that's almost
off the record.
Since 92, yeah. Looking at 27 years, that's almost one a year. And some of them, there's a guy that's in death row, I think they had the podcast on him. I've wrote him, like, two letters. Like, he actually knew Ted Bundy and stuff. But, like, he's been on death row for 40-some years, I think, now.
Well, like I said, most death row inmates die of natural causes before they ever even get executed.
Well, it's like Richard Ramirez. He died of natural causes. This guy, yeah. This guy's, like, could be really innocent, and they, like, won't review the DNA or something anymore. He has to pay for it or something.
That's crazy. Here's a fun question. Do you think the guillotine should be legal or illegal?
I don't think we're ready to handle that.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with this episode. But I don't know. Like, I feel like they do if they can do a firing squad in some places, like, why can't they do a guillotine? Because a guillotine just slicing your head clean off, that'd be much less painful. You wouldn't feel it. Like, you would be dead in a matter of seconds. The electric chair, that takes a little bit. Like, you have to be electrocuted to death.
Well, do you actually know how they do the firing squad?
No.
If I remember correctly, it's 4 people shoot and only one person has a live bullet. So, nobody knows who has a live bullet.
What if they miss?
Well, they get, like, sharpshooters, so they won't miss.
Well, see, I thought everyone had live bullets and just, like, shot a bunch of rounds into someone.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how they do it. It's been years ago because I watched the documentary on it. Because the guy said, like, he lived by the gun and he killed by the gun, so he'd die by the gun. So he changed it till he could get it. I want to say it's four.
So he requested firing squad. Oh, wow.
Four people, and like I said, one has a live bullet. Nobody knows who had it, so nobody has a guilty conscience that, hey, I shot the guy in the head. Or, yeah, I think they shouldn't have.
Well, I guess that's all right. I mean,
the guillotine.
You never think about that, though. The people that actually have to do the killing, like flip the switch or put the needle in, like for injections, you never think about that. They probably do not like it.
Well, like what are you saying, the guillotine and stuff? Like that, I don't know if we could handle that. Well, we could, I guess, but like America has gotten violent.
I don't see a difference in chopping someone's head off and shooting them. Like if you shoot them in the head, I don't know. I just don't see a difference in that.
Well, it's like the public hanging.
You're still killing them. Yeah, exactly. Like you can still kill them. You can still hang someone. It's the same thing.
It's a guillotine.
And the guillotine, you don't have to make it public. Whoever's doing it just has to deal with it, and they're probably trained.
If you think about some of the hangings, though, too, like sometimes their heads would pop off.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of basically the same concept, just not a sharp object.
Yeah, a faster way of doing that. I don't know.
Do you think actually the death penalty, if you look at today's society, it don't. Like, people think that, you know, oh, they got the death penalty, that it's going to, like, you know, stop crime and not, but it's, crime's always been there. It always will be there no matter what you do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Death penalty ain't going to stop it. Because there's just people, you know, some people do have an issue and some people just, like, just want to kill.
Yeah, I believe that. Let's see. I don't think that James, the 10-year-old, I don't think that he should have been put on death row at 10 years old. Like, yeah, like maybe, you know, he did, but it said his role in a robbery and murder. Did he actually kill someone? Was he just there? Like, I feel like he probably shouldn't have been on death row as a child. Like, he's still a child.
What year did you say that was?
1885.
That's why. You say he's a Native American?
Yes.
That's probably why.
Like, I know stuff wasn't tolerated as much for Native Americans, but...
It's like a thing I told yesterday on Facebook. Like, if it is legit, the boy that was, like, really young, accused of killing people, and he was black. He was a black boy.
Yeah.
And they killed him, and then turned out he didn't even do it. And then, like, he got, like it was years after. But, which a lot of death row inmates claim they're innocent, but, like, for the kid, though, we, like... If they're really demanding those evidence.
Yeah, I mean, but that they dude's actually role... did it, punish him, but really, death penalty... Well, he didn't. They didn't actually execute him until he was 23, but still.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Well, still, it's 13 years on death row.
And like, what is that inmates. One show? Is it I Am a Killer?
Yeah.
I think that's the show that it was on. I'm not entirely sure. I watch a lot of true crime stuff. But, that someone was actually fighting, like, got a lawyer to be on death row. So I think being on death row rather than, like, general population or just regular, like, jail waiting to go to prison, apparently death row is a lot better for inmates. Like, they all like it a lot better. So when they know they're not getting out, they fight for death row. Like, some people have actually pursued death row.
Well... Unless, like you said, most people die of natural causes, most people can live out their lifespan on death row. That's kind of the way you look at it. Which, I know, like, with visiting Tim and stuff, I visited Tim twice on death row. And, well, the first time, I was in there by myself for a while on the cell block. And the second time, he was waiting, which he said they usually have you in there after they, you know, have a visitor. They put them in there, and, you know, they shackle to the floor and everything. But, yeah, the first time I was in there for forever till they brought him in. But, like, I got, like, snacks and stuff out of the snack machine in there. And, like, he said that was, like, the best food he's ate compared to prison food, which size, you know, they can get commissary and stuff like that. But I remember, like, the first time I went there, this, like, older couple was talking to me. They were visiting, I think, their son, but he wasn't on death row. He was in general population. And, like, they were asking me all about stuff, and we were just kind of talking, kind of like, well, I've never done anything like this. And they're like, oh, who are you visiting? I'm like, oh, it's, you know, a guy on death row. And I don't know, the guy just really acted really weird and, like, quit talking to me. But it's kind of weird because, like, you go through, they stamp your hand. Well, you can't take your cell phone, which is obvious. Like, you got to put on a locker. And they said, That was one thing he told me. He said, you got to turn it off, because if not, they'll break in there if the phone rings off and take it. So I had to turn it off, put it in the locker, put all my personal stuff in the locker. But they stamp your hand, so you go through a metal detector, you put your hand underneath another like glass thing, and they can look in on it. And you go through that door, and then you're in another little area, and then you show your hand, and it shows a stamp, and you go through that, and you walk outside, you walk into the next building, that's where the general population's at. I had to, the first time I had to stand there for a few minutes while they brought somebody to come get me. Because the general population, that you go to the left, and that's where they were visiting, but Death Row went on through, like, another little building. And then you go into a cell block and stuff. And, like, it was interesting. Because, you know, being on a cell block, there's, let's see, what, the five tables? And, let's see, which are, you know, cells that weren't open or being used. I'm trying to think. The first time, I think there was three or four people that was there besides Tim. And I know the last time, like, every table was full. And actually, one of the Death Row inmates, because they usually take them on the other side of the table. Like, when you first walk in, the visitor's on the left side and the inmate's on the right side of the table. With, like, the dude, like, walked behind me and cut to his he was to the table to our left. It was just really, you know, interesting going there. And, you know, seeing a bunch of people being around. A bunch of people. With one guy, he kind of got a little, I'm trying to remember. Like, he was an older guy, kind of big and broad and stuff. But he got upset over something. I think it was food. Like, they didn't have something that he wanted in the vending machine. And he got a little upset over it. And then I know, trying to think. When you go in there, there was somebody talking to their attorney, and then one of the, like, sales. I was kind of wondering if it was the Anthony Sowell, the serial killer from Cleveland. Yeah, this was in Chillicothe, Ohio, is where I went. And that place, like, used to be like a camp. Like it'd be a haunted location that I'd like to investigate. It's like a lot of buildings around there. But, like, I know Tim, there was one guy that can't walk behind him. And he said he hadn't seen the guy since they moved them there. And, like I was printing off all the names and stuff and was trying to, like, picture their names to their face that I saw. And that guy had, like, killed his girlfriend's, like, three-year-old boy. That's another thing. It's kind of just, you know, awkward sitting in a Death Row area with people knowing, you know, what happened and everything, when find out what their crime was. Because anything against the kids is just way too much. But, do you have anything?
Willie Francis, the guy that survived.
There's one, that was a thing that I remember listening to somewhere. It was a boy. His dad got on death row. He didn't survive, but that was kind of the way they looked at it. Like, because they'd done the lethal injection. Well, there was audio of him, like, flipping out, because I guess he didn't hit a vein or something. I think they just shot it in his arm. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was, like, screaming, saying it was burning and all that. And, like, he basically suffered. Well, you know, you got the people, it's like, well, he deserved it. But then you got, you know, his actual son watched him go through that and die. And then, like you were saying, that dude survived. Like, if he survives, do you think he should actually be retried? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if he should be retried. I think they, like, should have done something else. Like, the electrocution didn't work, so do something else.
Well, at least when I went to Moundsville and done a paranormal investigation, might have been the day tour that I went when I first went up there 10 years ago. But they were, like, talking about they hung people, like, the dude, like, fell, like, the rope broke, and he fell and hit the ground, and then that they basically hung him again right after, while he was still, like, I guess he had broken bones and stuff, but yeah, they hung him again just to kind of do it and just kill him off real quick.
Like, I agree with that.
That could be pretty rough.
I mean, yeah, that would suck for the person, but, I mean, you already have a death day, and You know, I mean, I don't think a minor mishap should stop that from happening. If you actually did something bad enough to be on death row, like some things I think are just stupid to be on death row for. Like some of the stuff you could be life without parole, like that would be enough. I feel like death row is a little extensive for certain things, but I don't know.
That's what I was saying earlier.
I like the idea of death penalty, though.
Yeah, like what I was saying earlier, that's kind of like what you kind of look at with that sequence is, you know, you got some of them that, you know, you're like, oh, they might not be that bad out in, you know, society anymore. Then you got other ones that's like, no, but that's like,
yeah, any,
that's like anybody in prison, though. You know, some of them, you know, can be.
And thinking of it from both sides, like if it was my family member or like, you know, as a mother, like if it was my child, like I would still love my family member or child or whatever. Like I would still love them, obviously, and be sad. But I would, like, you know, I wouldn't want them to die. But then again, if it was something bad enough and that was legal in this state, like, there would really be nothing you could do about it. You could fight all your life and they're probably not going to change their mind because the justice system isn't very justifiable.
That's what people don't understand. There's two sides of every story. Like, you know, you got the victim. And then the victim's family, and then you got the killer. But a lot of people don't understand. Like, yeah, you mostly get the killer story. And some things, you know, do promote the victims and stuff and their family talking about how they were as a person and everything before they were murdered.
I like hearing stuff about the killer, too, though. Like, I, you know, respect the victim, talk about it, keep it alive, but also hear from the killer's family because that's they're just regular people like all of us. Their family member just happens to kill someone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got, like, you usually hear the killer and the victim, but more or less the killer story. And, like I said, you got the victim's family, but you know, people don't realize, like, the killer's family are victims in themselves. That's my opinion. Because, you know, unless they're just, like, demented family, but if they're not, you know, they don't mean for their child or, you know, spouse or whatever, like, they didn't, you know, some of them might not even knew, like, take a BTK killer, for instance, you know, he was married to his wife for, like, 31 years, and she never knew a thing, and, like, she probably, you know, getting accused and stuff, like, you gotta look at it that sense, because they're victim into it as well, and they get a lot of the backlash
of
it.
They get a lot of hate, yeah.
And, like, if they were in on it, then yeah, or, you know, might have knew something and didn't. Like, if they do something about it in hell, then they deserve a little bit of backlash. But a lot of them are innocent, too. And they, you know, you kind of got to respect them in a sense. Because, like, even though it's upsetting to them, they're still going to love, you know, whoever, you know, whether it be kid, spouse, or some loved one in the family had done it, they're still going to love them, even though they know that they've done something bad. And they're still going to respect, you know, the person that they murdered and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, like, if it was just a family member, like, even if I was close with them, like, you know, I would probably be sad about it, but, like, you know, I could probably be like, okay, well, they did a crime that was punishable by death, and this is what happened. But, like, let's say it was, like, you or one of our children, something like that, I would have way more of a hard time trying to deal with that. Like, if it was just, you know, a loved family member, yeah, that would suck. It would be devastating, but not as bad as it being your child or your spouse, I feel
well,
like.
Well, spouse, yeah, but with a child, I think would be more devastating because, like, you raised a child, and then you're kind of questioning yourself, where did I go wrong?
I mean, I would probably think that, but then I would also think, like, I don't want them to suffer. I don't want them to live that kind of life. Like, every parent wants their child to succeed and make something great of themselves. And you don't want them spending forever in jail. Like, you don't want them there. Which, yeah, I think it would just be harder.
Yeah, which in anything, Carl, which nobody should kill nobody.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it comes down to. But, you know, like I said,
I'm very mixed emotion with the whole thing, though. Like, I don't know, like you said, eye for an eye. Like, sometimes I feel like, you know what, eye for an eye. And sometimes I'm like, well, is it really that bad that I have to, you know, like, someone needs to, like, I don't know. Different situations make me feel different ways.
Well, the way I always tell people, which when they get into the death penalty argument and everything, which this is my opinion, a lot of people probably won't have this opinion, but say you go out and kill somebody. Well, that person's family or somebody, like somebody that knew them, they're like, well, I'm going to go kill that person that killed them. Like, my opinion on that, like, you don't gain nothing. Like, people that talk trash about killers, not which I'm not taking up for killers or anything, but I'm just saying people that talk bad about killers and everything, and them saying, you know, they would, like, anybody that's listening to this episode or just in life in general, I'm sure you made the comment that you want to kill somebody. The difference is, a killer, serial killer, you know, whatever, they took that step further. So, yeah, you're going to be angry, mad, and upset, and you're like, well, I'm going to go kill somebody in their family. You're not much better than them. You know, you're right there playing the bad thoughts that, you know, took over them. So, like I said, like we just said a few minutes ago, it's basically the whole, you know, nobody should get murdered. But like I said, anybody that I've known always have threatened people, even if they don't mean it. But like I said, it just takes that one time to snap, and then you're right into what you know, hate. So that's kind of my look at it. It's like, yeah, most people do want to get revenge when a loved one gets, which, you know, I've not really been in that situation. So, like, I watched a thing the other day about Gary Ridgway, and I'm not a very religious person, but this old man, you know, you could just tell he was, you know, like, loved, you know, full-blown Christian, everything. Well, Gary Ridgway killed. I'm not sure who Gary Ridgway killed. I'm assuming a daughter, maybe. And, you know, the guy's like, you know, it's been very hard, but the guy's belief, you know, in God and stuff was saying, you know, that I have to forgive you. And he told him right there during his trial that he forgave him. And, you know, that's very, you know, even if me not being religious, it still is a very powerful statement that, you know, that guy, you know, I think he done it right. You know, he didn't go out and try to do anything extra to hurt Gary Ridgway. Because like I said, if he'd say he would have went and killed Gary's son, you know, what does that do? That does nothing. That just causes more murder than he's in prison. You know, it don't solve anything. But he was able to go deep, which is very hard to forgive somebody when they murder your loved one. Like, that's very, very hard.
I think that depends on situation as well.
Yeah, like
you still may be hurt by it, but I think it definitely depends on situation. Like, if they were doing something bad enough to, like, if it was just a random kill, then yeah, that's awful. But like, let's say
if they go
it
out
was
and
something
shoot,
they were trying to, like, they were trying to fight the person, like shoot them, and they were trying to,
yeah, if they go out and shoot somebody, like say somebody, like with shooting this,
like if
up,
you were defending yourself and killed someone,
if you went into a gas station and tried to shoot somebody and somebody shot you,
yeah,
you know, they're defending. You know, they saved a lot of people because they don't know what you were doing, which that don't mean you go out and, you know, have a gun on your hip and somebody shoots you and be like, well, I thought he was going to shoot me. Like,
yeah.
You don't, you know, don't go that extreme.
But you can't decide death penalty, though. Like, you can, there is rules and everything for a reason. Like, you cannot play that part. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to kill this person. You have to let it legally happen.
Well, how does Richard Ramirez says that about, like, that we all have the power in our hands or whatever? Like, we all do. That's the scary part.
Yeah, we all could do it, but we don't.
Well, it's just one thing goes wrong and just takes you to the next level. That's kind of like what I was getting to. Like I said, anybody that I've known has made a threat to somebody by either stabbing them, killing them, choking them, strangling them. Like, you know, road rage. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, you're flipping out on them. Which, in some cases, some people have went and shot them and stuff like that. There was that one guy, I don't think he got the death penalty, but he's an older, like, he was a cop, like a retired cop, but he shot somebody in the theater. Like, a dude was talking to the daughter on the phone, and I don't know what was said, but somehow the dude ended up pulling out a gun and shooting him, killing him right there in the theater. Like, that's kind of, like, that dude had, like, you know, 5-6-year-old daughter he was on the phone with. And I guess he got upset. But I think he was like 70, 71. That was the dude that done the shooting.
But yeah, I figured.
So, yeah. You got anything else, Dan?
No, I think I'm done with that.
All right, yeah, this episode, as you could tell, was more of a raw. We had some notes jotting down, but we'll kind of be doing two more episodes that we have planned in the future. But like I said, this is a very old episode. It's getting updated.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, so we'll have another one that will be coming out that's an update. And then, like I said, future, which the research and everything's done with, it's going to be kind of more of a raw, going off, just going off notes and stuff.
But I really like these types.
But it will kind of go with the death row side aspect of it. It'll just be kind of like a little topic thing to discuss. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.